Oh. Welcome back. You're live.
How are you?
I'm Christian.
Leaving.
I said you're live.
Oh, I'm live.
Hi. Just saying. Okay, moving right along. The Jewish people have crossed the Red Sea. They sang their song of praise. Moshe Rabbeinu led the men. Miriam led the women. They didn't want to leave because new treasures kept washing up on the shore. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu has got to literally pull them away. And then they come and there's nothing to drink and they complain again. And then it gets sweet. And then we run out of food. And that's the beginning of the fifth reading, chapter 15, verse 27. Vayavayu Elima. They came to a place called Elim. Visham, and there they discovered Shteim Esrei Enos Moim. There were 12 springs of water. Veshivim Tmarim, 70 day trees. Vayachan Ursham Al HaMoim. There they camped on the water. This was, I guess, an oasis of sorts. So the obvious question is, why does the Torah have to tell us how many springs of water there were and how many trees there were? Like, really, what difference does it make? And if there would have been 11 springs of water, the people wouldn't have had their thirst slaked. And if there would have been 15 springs of water, who really cares? What's relevant is they came to Elim, Vesham, Mayim. There was water. And there was Tmarim. Yet, the Torah specifically emphasizes the numbers. So Rashi says that there's got to be a reason for it. And the message for us is, Keneged Yudbeis Shvatim Nizdamnu Lehem. Hashem is telling the Jewish people that despite the fact that he loves all of Am Yisrael equally, there is something very special about the tribal differences and about the unique approaches to Avodas Hashem. And so in honor of the 12 tribes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided 12 individual springs of water. V'shivim tmarim, and what's up with the 70 day trees? Says Rashi that this number also has meaning. Keneged shivim zekanim, that corresponds to 70 elders. In other words, the leadership of the Jewish people was valued by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was a message God wanted to convey to the Jewish people. Inasmuch as Moshe Rabbeinu alone was the one who led Am Yisrael, and the subsequent reaction to the crossing of the Red Sea is Vayaminu Bahashem over Moshe Avdei, so it was all about Moses and believing in Moses, and it's a very important part of our Jewish experience. And the lesser HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the contribution that's made by the elders as well, and so that's why that message is conveyed to the Jewish people when there are 70 specific 70 trees which provide nourishment, just like the elders or sages who teach and provide nourishment to the nation and so on and so forth. Okay. Vayisu me'elim. That was nice. And now we move on from Elim. In Elim there was food. In Elim there was drink. Vayavayu kladas bnei Yisrael el midbar Sin. All of the nation of Israel, congregation of Israel, comes to the desert called Sin. Asher bein Elim uvein Sinai. This is the area between Elim and Sinai, and the Torah here gives us a date. Bechamisha asar yoim, on the 15th day, l'chodesh hasheni of the second month, l'tzeisam me'eretz Mitzrayim, from their exodus, from the leaving the land of Egypt. We take a look in Rashi. Why is the Torah giving us dates? There's a number of events, we have no dates. In fact, going right back to the earlier verses, we have no dates. Vayavayu Elima, when did they come to Elim? When did they find those 12 springs of water and the 70-day trees? We don't know. But for some reason, when they come afterwards from Elim, when they arrive in Midbar Sin, we have to know that it was B'chamisha Asar on the 15th day. And the obvious question is why? Why does the Torah have to convey it to us? So Rashi says, Sporesh Hayayim Shalchanoyo, the day of encampment, the date of encampment, is clearly spelled out in the Torah, which is unusual, different from all the other encampments, where generally speaking, we do not get dates for the events. We have an approximation of when this took place, but we don't have a specific date. Here the Torah emphasizes the day, Tesvav, the 15th day of the month. So Rashi says the reason is Lafi, that's because Shebei Bayeim Kolsa Chararo, it was on this day that the final crumbs were consumed. The crumbs Shehitziu Mimitzroyim, the crumbs that they had taken with them from Egypt. I'm using crumbs colloquially. It means, of course, the remnants of the matzah. So they had remnants, they had matzah, and now they finished using whatever was left over. Not bad. Lasted them for a month. So V'hutzuchu l'man. At this point, they needed to have man, or they don't know what man was, but they needed something. They needed some kind of miracle here. Lamadnu, it's from this date that we are taught Sha'achlu Mishiyare Hamatza Shishim Va'achas Seudes. From here we learn that they consumed and ate matzah 61 meals. How do we get 61 meals? Well, it's simple. The first day is when they were pounding the dough in the morning of the 15th, and then it baked on their backs, which is a miracle. And that miracle matzah lasts them subsequently for another month, 2 meals a day. The notion of eating 3 meals a day is a ridiculous Western invention. And by the way, it's not healthy. That's why everybody's obese in the Western world, because 3 meals a day is my sugar. You have to a late morning meal and an early evening meal. That was what they always ate in the time of the Gemara. And that's what's healthy. That's what's normal. At any rate, so the people ate 2 meals a day. 2 meals a day, you do the calculation. The 15th day, they finished baking the bread, or miraculously baked, and then this miracle matzah lasted them until the 15th day. So if you make the calculation, it gives you 61 meals. They finished their 61st meal, 61st dinner, and now it's like the end of the 15th day, and there's no more food. Suddenly, the magical food is gone. The traveling pantry is empty. Clearly, this is miraculous. There's no way that matzah can give you indigestion for 61 days. It cannot feed you for 61 meals. That's not possible. So this was a miracle food. But the miracle ran out. And so the people came the day the miracle ran out, and they kvetched. They didn't say, look at this, amazing. Crumbs, remnants, matzah. We ate it for a month. We just finished eating it. And it was fresh. Well, matzah stays fresh always, but here we are a month later. They didn't complain. Instead of acknowledging the miracle, what did they start doing right away? They're kvetching. So now what do we do? And that wasn't such a nice thing. So they came and they were, as we're going to read in the next verse, they right away came and they complained to Moshe v'Yaron, v'Midbar right there in the desert. Finish off this Rashi we just started. V'yored lehem amon, the man fell the next morning, the 16th day of Iyar. This was the day that the manna fell for the Jewish people on the first time. V'yom rishon b'Shabbos hoyah, that was what we call in the Western world Sunday. So Shabbos was the day they arrived over there. They didn't really know about Shabbos yet. They came to Erev Shabbos. They settled in on the 15th day, which was Shabbos. On that Shabbos, they finished their last meal, which was their Sudash Lishit. And with the Sudash Lishit of the 15th day, that's it. No more food. No more food. This is all Kedis of Masechet Shabbat, like we learned on page 87 of Masechet Shabbos. So verse 2 tells us, they came and complained to Moshe and to Aaron in the desert. Rashi says, Vayoleinu, why did they kvetch? Because Lafi Shakolo Halochem, because the bread was finished. So they kvetched. They said, what do we do now? How are we gonna survive now? And why did they call him Al Moshe V'Al Aaron? So Rashi doesn't talk about it. But the truth is, it's interesting to note that in Mara, which was when the water was bitter, they only complained to Moshe. And here, they complained to Moshe V'Aaron. Why is this? So the Ibn Ezra says the following. In Mara, they complained to Moshe alone because Moshe was the one who took them away from the Reed Sea. They wanted to stay there. Every day was new booty, new gold, new silver, new diamonds, kept washing up. The bodies miraculously washed up right away because they shouldn't think that the Egyptians are going to pursue them still. But all the wealth, all the gold and silver did not wash up right away. That didn't wash up until days afterwards. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who pulled them away. So therefore, since Moshe was the one who pulled them away, they weren't so happy with him, so they kvetched him. But at this point, they already forgot about that. And now they're kvetching to Moshe and to Aaron. Another question is, why does it say Al Moshe v'Al Aaron b'Midbar? On Moshe and Aaron in the Midbar, where else would the Jewish people be? This is where the Israelites are now. So Ramban says, the emphasis here, the complaint is because of the Midbar. If we're in the city, we can go buy food somewhere, they said. But you took us out to the Midbar, and how in heaven are we going to be nourished here? How are we going to eat over here? It's a good question. They didn't know the answer. They were really nervous. So verse 3 says, Vayemru aleim bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people began to kvetch, but not just to kvetch. Oy vey. Mi tein Musenu v'yad Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Vayt, they don't want to go back to Egypt. They just left Egypt a month ago. They said, we could have been in Egypt. We could die by God's hand in Egypt. B'shivtein osir abasar. Then we sat at the flesh pots. We were having roast beef and steak. Roast beef and steak, you were slaves. They have somebody, like the memory is very kind to you. You forget all the recent things, all you remember from the good old days was the good stuff. Because your memory blocks out all the stuff you didn't like. So only you remember the good stuff. And they said, Remember how good it was? It was so good once upon a time. And then you took us here. And there we were, ba'achalnu lechem l'seifah, we ate bread to satiation. Ki etzeis ha'maisanu el ha'midbar hazeh. Instead of being at the flesh pots in Egypt, you took us out to be in this miserable desert. And now, here we are in this desert. What's going to happen? La'homis is kol ha'kol hazeh berov. You, Moses, you're going to kill us all. Rashi says, mi yuten musenu. Musenu means, it's like we would have died, so to speak, as if as if it had happened already. Not that you will kill us. Not you're going to kill us, but we would have died already earlier. Shenamos, miyitish namos. If we would have died, any shem davar kamei musenu. It's not a speaking of a noun about our death. Ela kamei aseisenu. It's a verb. It's a past tense verb. Chanaisenu, shuvenu, are doing, are camping, are returning. Lases anachnu, what we were doing. Lachanes anachnu, as if we are camping, or we camped. Lamos anachnu. Not that we will die, and not that our death, but we would have died. Would have died already. So, fine, we would have died in the desert. Wouldn't be so bad. Died in Egypt. V'targumai, levai demisna. Unculus renders it, if only we would have died already. Who needed to be alive for this? Who needed to see this? We could have died already, and now we wouldn't have any problems anymore. Halavai v'yino mesim, if only we would have been dead already. I know, it's ridiculous. For heaven's sake. He's just lit a whole month of miracle matzah. And this is your first response. I wish we were dead already. Life would have been so good for us. Anyway, this is the not so proud part of our ancestors' behavior. And Hashem tested us, and we didn't score so high in the tests.
Why would they even accept death? Why would they accept that would be their...
There's two things that come whether you accept it or not. Death and taxes. So, it was going to come.
Compared to going out of the desert, they're being...
Yeah, well, hey, they're afraid they're going to die now. So since we're going to die, we should have been dead already.
I think hunger does that to a person.
Makes people crazy? They weren't that hungry. They had a meal yesterday. It's like... They were hungry because they projected into the future. They looked at the empty cupboard. They said, look at this, we're dead. So we can't even blame it on them being driven crazy by hunger because they didn't eat for 3-4 days. They did. They just had a meal. They just finished the last meal, but the cupboard was empty. So, you know, when the cupboard is empty, everybody's already hungry, even though they just ate. When the cupboard is full, you don't feel this urge. So what happens here? What happens? Shifteinu asir habasar. There we were eating the meat. So Rashbam says, okay, fine, they exaggerated a little. Everybody exaggerates a little. They don't really mean they were sitting in the flesh pots. They mean we ate. Somehow we ate. We got by, we ate. Okay, it wasn't great food, but we ate. Here we're eating nothing. There's no food left. The Or HaChaim says, you know who complained here? This was the kapos. Kapos who ate well. Nothing changed. In World War II, those kapos, these miserable Jews who harmed other Jews, and they got ate well. They got fed well, and they ate well. So here, it's b'shevtein osir habasar. These were the Jewish taskmasters, not the good ones, the bad ones, who beat up their fellows and got rewarded with a piece of steak for it. So this makes it a little better. So who's complaining? Who's kvetching? These are the kapos that were kvetching. These are the bad guys. So the bad guys, they were kvetching. Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, God says to Moshe, Hineni mamte lechem lechem min hashamayim. I am going to rain bread down from heaven. Ve'yotza ha'am, the nation will go out, v'loktu, and they will collect. Dvar yoyim b'yoyimay, they will collect their daily bread. L'man anasenu, so that I might test them, hayelech b'seirasi imloy, if they will walk in my Torah or not. A very, very strange verse. Let's take it from the top. God says to Moshe, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. Mam te lechem min hashamayim. So Rashi doesn't say that. Why does it say I'm going to rain bread from heaven? So Ibn Ezra says, actually came down in the form of rain. It looked like rain when it came down. It was like something. Was like some kind of precipitation. Now, it wasn't loaves of bread. It wasn't even bagels. It was crystals. Why do you call it lechem? Why would God say it's going to be bread when it's not going to be bread? So Ramban says, because they could make it into bread. They used to grind it and cook it and bake it. It was a raw material, but they could do stuff with it. So that's why it's called bread rather than the name of what it actually is, which it has no name, right? They said, they use an Egyptian word. They go, mun. What is this? We don't know what this is. But he's going to be made into bread. Ibn Ezra says bread is a name which is used in biblical literature for food. Breaking bread, having bread. Like even in the beginning, first meals in the Torah, Avraham Avinu invites the guests, the angels. What does he tell them? He says, you'll eat a little bread. What if they didn't eat bread? What if they were on the Atkins diet and they only ate meat? Whatever. So they ate whatever they ate. He did give them a tongue. He gave them meat. Bread is not about the bread necessarily. And the Sepharno says the same thing. He says it means muzzin. It means food. And what is it from the heavens? It's not what's from the heavens. Heavens is like a name for heaven, Gan Eden, the heavens. So the Chizkuni says, we control what goes on earth. We do not control what comes from the heavens. We think we control. We think we farm the earth. What you plant grows. What you don't plant doesn't grow. What comes from the sky? That's anybody's bet. Nobody knows. That's in heaven. So people say the weather, you can't control the weather. You can't control these things. Even if Al Gore thinks he could, it's not true. We can't control the weather. And we don't even know why the weather is acting funny. Historically, planet Earth has had funny weather cycles all along, documented for a very long time. Are we the one causing? Maybe. We might be causing the bad weather. Maybe yes, maybe no. This really, the jury is out, if you want to be honest. We don't know with certainty. But one thing, when we talk about something we can't control, we can use the word heaven. And heaven hands. And here, the concept is it will rain from the heaven, meaning we have absolutely no control over this whatsoever. This is in Hashem's hands. Not that we have that much control of what grows in the ground, but nonetheless, we can control the process to some degree. If you don't plant, don't expect anything to grow. Whereas here, it's going to get rained down from the heavens. Brought down elsewhere that rain is the concept of bracha. Like it says, gishme bracha. Like rain is a blessing. This was like a blessing from God. But here's where it gets really strange. It says, Laman anasenu, in order that I might test him. If you would ask me why this food is falling, I would tell you so that they may be sated. That's why food falls. You serve food so people can eat. Here God says something very different. I'm going to serve them food so that they might be tested. Isn't it funny, maybe? Why are you serving them food so they might be tested? What's the Laman anasenu? So Rashi says, it does not mean testing them if they'll follow my Torah, if they'll listen to my mitzvahs. It means, im yishmeru mitzvahs hatluyas bay, will they keep the mitzvahs that are contingent or connected to the manna? What were the mitzvahs? There were two mitzvahs. Number one, shalei yasiru mimenu, that they shouldn't leave any manna over from one day to the next. And number two, v'lo yetzu b'shabbos l'kut. Number two is they shouldn't go out on Shabbos to collect. Those were the two mitzvahs, those two commandments God gave with regard to the man. He said, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you this food from heaven, and here's the rules of engagement. Here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. And that's the meaning of l'man anasenu, so you'll see if I walk in my Torah. Now, okay, so on level of pshuta shel mikra, it doesn't mean Yiddishkeit, it doesn't mean Torahsi, it's not the whole Torah, they don't have a Torah yet. It means, will they do my instructions here? But of course, colloquially, I mean, any child would tell you, if you go on my Torah, means Torah. This is the test, the litmus test for Judaism. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, yes, because it, as a result of the food that will come from heaven, what will they be able to do? They'll be able to study Torah. Why? They won't be busy farming. They'll be busy finding food. They won't be busy hunting. So therefore, that's why I'll see. Once they eat well, I'll see already if they're going to follow through and do what is right, learning Hashem's Torah. But that's kind of like, it's not that the manna itself is a test. The manna will lead them into a test. It doesn't really answer their question directly. Rashbam says, that's because every single day, they will have to raise their eyes heavenward. Every day. They won't know what's happening the next day. But still, even if you accept Rashbam's premise, then so it's not the food, it's the process, which Rashi kind of talks about. He talks about the process, and he talks about the mitzvahs that are connected to it. And the big question that I think we still didn't really answer is, okay, accepting Rashi and Rashbam's premise, accepting all this, that ultimately this represents the process, and it represents the actual specific instructions of what will happen when the manna falls, the question remains, why would this be the test? They did collect the man. They didn't collect the man. Our ancestors didn't listen to a lot of the mitzvahs. This is the question. Okay. So, we have, fortunately, a wonderful beer explanation from the Rebbe. Here on page Shin Yud Gimel in the Biurim book, Simen Lamed Vav, the Rebbe says, Yesh Lishel, we might well ask, Madua Nikvu, Dafke Shnei Tzivuyim Elu. Why was it that these two mitzvahs, okay, fine, we'll accept Rashi's premise. Rashi says the two mitzvahs are the mitzvahs of do not collect the mun, do not leave it over, pardon me, and do not collect it on Shabbos. Okay, fine. So that, but why is that the litmus test? And why does that used in the language of Laman Anasenu, so that I might test him? Hayelech, will they go in my Torah? Imloy, if not. So the Rebbe says that Matarasa Shel Haman, the purpose of the Mon, which is known as Lechem Min HaShemayim, the bread from heaven. Incidentally, there's like a discussion amongst the Achreinim, what bracha did they make? They were observant Jews. What bracha did they make? Can't make Hamaytzi Lechem Min HaAretz. So they said they made a bracha, Hamaytzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. That was the bracha, a unique bracha that was once made for 40 years. So this Lechem Min HaShemayim, the reason that Hashem gave them this bread from heaven was in order to, if you will, impregnate them with midas habitochen, with the measure of trust in Hashem, that they should have bitochen hamuchlat, they should have absolute trust by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they should do this mitoich hakara, they should do this recognizing fully HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha-mokar l'mizei nesav, that God is the source of sustenance. God is the source of prosperity. You need, He provides. That's what Hashem wants us to know. That's why we got man. You know, it's interesting. Rashbam, Rabbeinu Bachai talks about the learning of Torah, man enabled learning of Torah. There's a medrash that says, the Torah was only given to the people who ate the man. Why? The man did something to you. There was something about ingesting this miracle food. And the way that Rabbi speaks about it here, it brought you to a state of emuna and bitachon, not only faith in God but trust in God. V'habitu lekach, and this the expression of the faith came on two levels, in two dimensions. Midazu achin chodra benafshal shel bnei Yisrael, this measure that, so to speak, was bored into the souls of the Jewish people, came by keeping these two commandments. Why were these two commandments the litmus test? Why did this specifically make the Jewish people aware and cognizant of God's kindness and beneficence? And why was it that this specifically was able to inculcate within them the measure of bitachon? Well, the Rebbe says, let's take a look at what were the two mitzvahs. Mitzvah number one, shalei yasidu mimenu. They shouldn't leave anything over. Ilu ha yibnei yisrael meisidu min haman. If the Jewish people would get into the habit of always leaving a little over from the day before. It's the end of the day, let's leave a little over for tomorrow. Leave tomorrow. Heim hayu mechichim, they would prove not only that they like leftovers, which has been a Jewish pastime ever since, but more so, they would prove chayser habitochen, they would prove the lack of trust. They would prove a lack of trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yaspik lehem es mezeinam gam l'machros. God provided for us today. Yeah. Well, who says He's going to provide for us tomorrow? We hope He will, but we don't really know. Here's what we know. We got bread in the basket today. We got bread in the basket today. Whether He will give tomorrow or not, we don't know. So since we don't know, be a really good idea for us to hold on to some bread. They had a pattern, but that, you know, luck, your luck could run it any day.
But didn't they know that it would go bad?
They were told, but the point wasn't that they shouldn't leave it over, they should go bad. The point is they shouldn't leave it over because God said not to leave it over. That was the point. They shouldn't have to be bludgeoned into doing what's right. They shouldn't be coerced into following Hashem's command. They should follow Hashem's command.
Why would He tell them?
No, He didn't tell them in the beginning. He said, don't leave it over. In the language of the Medrash, anybody who has what to eat today, and he says, yeah, I have today, but what will I eat tomorrow? You know what the Medrash says? That's mechusar emuna. You're not displaying trust in Hashem. Hashem provided for you today, He'll provide for you tomorrow. But how will He do that? I'm not sure I will do that. Did you know He's going to provide for you today? He provided for you. Just take it easy. Relax, trust Him. With the very fact that the Jewish people got into this habit of eating the man every single day, till the end. Everything. Nothing left. There was nothing left over. This is the way they demonstrated their absolute, total commitment, their loyalty, and most importantly, their trust in Hashem. That He would provide for them, gam l'machras, the next day too. The food that was needed. you know, the Baal Shem Tov didn't have any money. He couldn't sleep in his, if there was money in the house. He had to get rid of all the money, and then he had peace. Then he had absolute trust. When there was no, not an ounce, not a penny left, he gave it away to poor people, made sure everybody had what they need, everybody had, then the Baal Shem Tov could sleep. Why? Because the Baal Shem Tov said money disturbed him. Got in the way of his trust in Hashem, which was, that's how we had to function. Okay, you don't have to do that. But at least, you have to live with absolute trust, that's it. And number two was La Yetzu B'Shabbos Loka. They didn't go out on Shabbos together. But Yachasli and Shabbos, with regard to the holy day of Shabbos, Nifsuka Halacha, the Halacha rules the following. Mitzvah Shalei Lahara Klal Ba'asokov. It is a mitzvah. It is appropriate that a person should not even think about his business. Doesn't say don't do your business. Doesn't say don't go to your business. Doesn't say don't prepare for your business. It says don't even think about your business. So what should I think about? Torah mitzvahs. Shabbos. You should see it as if you have nothing left to do. Every to-do list, everything's crossed out. Everything was done. You have nothing left. Nothing left. It's all done already. But Yom Shabbos, on the day of Shabbos, Magia Efei Midas Abitachem Bakadosh Baruch Hu L'Si Chodesh. On Shabbos, trust in Hashem reaches a whole new level, a new apex. If during the weekdays, Nidrash Adam, the person is demanded of the person that's expected, Shalei Lidig is Daigas HaMachar, shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Rather, live Toyach Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu, trust in God, Sheyaspik, Lo Yes Parnasos, Devayim Be'Yoymai. Surely God provided yesterday, surely He'll provide tomorrow. That's on a regular day. In Shabbos, it's asked of you, don't even do anything, don't even think about it. Not only trust in Hashem and do your work, don't think about it at all. Don't even think twice about it. That's a whole new level. You want to tell a person, don't worry, do what you have to do today? Okay, fine, I won't have anxiety. But he's thinking about it. Here we say, don't think about it. It's Shabbos. It's nothing to talk about, it's nothing to think about. Only holiness today. This kind of trust in Hashem, this expressed itself when on Shabbos they didn't go collect mon. Even on the weekdays, it wasn't terribly difficult to get mon into your house. Filling your pantry was not a challenge. They had to do something basic. That's basic. You had to go out of your orbit. You had to go collect the mon and bring it to your house. Couldn't be entirely lazy. Be mostly lazy. It's not like today. You could just click and it came. The food came by itself. You can't just swipe. You have to actually go out. Something. B'yom Shabbos l'mazeh. On the day of Shabbos, hamon ha'yimuchin kvar mireish. You didn't even have to swipe. You didn't even have to make an order on the internet. Everything was there. La'yitzarach b'shum pula. Nothing whatsoever. There was no tircha. It says tzaddikim used to open their tent and the mon was right there. The shoyim had to go for a long walk. Here was nothing. You didn't even have to stick your hand out. Everything was ready. On Shabbos, it was already sitting in your plate, in your basket. When our ancestors kept this mitzvah, look at man. They didn't go out on Shabbos to collect the man. They proved, they demonstrated, even this lofty level of trust, chodro heitev benafsham, had indeed become a part of their Jewish DNA. And that, my dear friends, is why this was the beginning of our journey. It was all about the manna and how we would treat the manna. That would be the sign if we would keep Hashem's Torah. If not, if we would trust in Hashem, or chas v'shalom, be deficient. And for the most part, we did trust in Hashem. And here we are, the descendants of those who ate the manna, and what's asked of us today is we should live with the same kind of betochen, with the same kind of trust that our ancestors did, and with God's help, as long as we live with betochen, everything will go right.
Hopefully. Easy for you to say.
There we go.